Unchurned is presented by Update AI.
And so I know for a lot of CS teams, they have a lot of different metrics. Some might have like product usage, and others might have things like, you know, CSAT. There's a whole bunch of kind of different metrics that are thrown out there. But I think the more that you can align on a single metric and say, this is the one thing that we want to drive as a team, the more powerful your outcome can become. We want our customers to grow with HubSpot.
Hello, Unchurned fans. It's Josh here. We had one job this week to record our podcast, and we failed. It's a rainy week in New York City. I'll use that as our excuse. But we're going back to one of my favorite episodes. This is all the way back to 2022 when I spoke to Jonathan Corbin, who at the time was the global vice president of CS at HubSpot. We had a great conversation on functional, cross-functional alignment between CS and all the other go-to-market channels, and some other really cool stuff, segmentation, how to build one-on-one relationships with customers. Jonathan is now the CEO and co-founder of Maven AGI, which is a generative AI platform helping to reimagine customer experience starting with support. So I hope you enjoy this retro throwback episode from 2022. Have a great week.
Welcome to Unchurned, a show about the leaders and innovators of companies who have forged incredible customer relationships and stories you can use to advance your own career. Here's your host, Josh Schachter.
Hey, everybody. I'm Josh Schachter, founder and CEO of Update AI and host of Unchurned. Joining me today is Jonathan Corbin. Jonathan leads a team of over 700 in his role as Global Vice President of Strategy and Customer Success at HubSpot. HubSpot was founded in 2006. We all know HubSpot, one of the world's preeminent SaaS companies, the category king and definer of inbound marketing, currently with over 6,000 employees, hundreds of ecosystem partners, a major annual conference, a market cap of over $16 billion as I speak today. It's such an honor, Jonathan, to have you on the show. You and the entire team at HubSpot have done so much for SaaS, so I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
It's a pleasure to be here, Josh. Appreciate you having me and looking forward to the conversation. I think there's so much that goes on within the scope of a CS organization, within a SaaS organization. Looking forward to chatting a little bit about it with you today.
We call this podcast Unchurned because we want to go raw. We want to get authentic and know the real you and get the best real insights from you. So let's start out with that. You've got 700 people that work in your group. So lots of people looking up to you. What's one thing that might surprise them or others to learn about you?
You know, I'm fresh from LA, Josh. And the reason why I bring that up is I have a sibling who's a movie director. Her movie just premiered on Wednesday. It's a movie called Breaking. And I was fortunate enough to be able to be there with her and sit through it. It's an amazing story about a veteran and some challenges that he went through. And so if you get a chance to check that out, do it. I think that's something that would probably surprise a lot of people that I work with and that work on my team.
That's amazing. Okay. HubSpot spans a great deal of feature functionality and use cases and journeys. What's one that you've been there for a while now? What's a part of HubSpot from the product perspective that really stands out to you?
I think what really stands out to me, and this is one of the reasons why I joined HubSpot, actually, Josh, is that I went through the startup journey myself. I left Adobe, I started a company. And one of the things that I wished I had when I started that company was a easy to use CRM that allowed me to attract customers, engage with them, convert them, and continue to engage with them as they were a customer. I think that's what I love about HubSpot. It's a holistic solution for go-to-market teams. And if I had that, I would have had a lot less spreadsheets, a lot less kind of bifurcated systems and things that I was trying to cobble together. So that's what I love about HubSpot, the simplicity of it and how it brings all the different teams that are focused on a single thing of bringing customers together and delivering a great experience to them all in one place.
And I'm glad you referenced Adobe because I did forget to bring up your pedigree in customer success. I mean, you've had an incredible run. Now, of course, you're at one of the most wonderful places to be leading CS. Prior to that, you were at Sprinklr, which is another premier company leading their CS, Marketo, and prior to that, Adobe. So some really, we're talking B2B SaaS customer success. I'm talking to the right person here. I'm really excited about the conversation. You know, one of my foundational theories and thoughts about customer success is that it all comes down to relationships with the customers. It's of course table stakes that you have to have a product that's serving value. But really, when you think about companies and products that people stay on board with, I think it all comes down to the relationship, the emotional connection that they have to those companies and the relationships that they built with those companies. What are the types of relationships that you've developed, or not you personally, but HubSpot has with its customers? How would you describe the culture of relationships?
Yeah, I think you touched on a good area, Josh. That building a relationship that's meaningful with your customer is so important to whether they're using, whether they're getting value out of your product. And, you know, it's very easy when you're a small startup and you have 20 customers. It becomes a lot more challenging when you have 150,000 plus customers who are paying you, and they want that same relationship with you. And so what we've done at HubSpot is we've gone out and we've had conversations with our customers. And we said, what is it that you would like to have from us to help you along your journey? What are the interaction points that you would like to be able to engage with HubSpot around? And what we found is that there's three different types of customers that we had an opportunity to interact with. And the first one is a customer who said, I'm really busy. Using HubSpot is not my full-time job. When I have a question, I don't want to hop on a phone call with someone. I don't want to send an email. I want to be able to just type in a Google query. I want to be able to look for the solution, and I want to keep doing whatever I'm doing. So there's this customer who wants to like self-serve, right? Like they want access to information when they need it. And that's great, right? Like we try to do that. And HubSpot has so much information that's available online. It's very easy for those customers to be able to find what they're looking for and to move forward. The second category of customer was one where they said, I want all the stuff that first customer had. I want to be able to Google, I want to be able to find the solution to my answer, but I want to be able to have a conversation with somebody and make sure I'm going down the right track. I spent money on this offer, and I want to make sure that I'm using it right, that I'm getting the maximum amount of value out of the product that I can get. The third category of customers, one is just, listen, I'm relying on this technology for my business. I'm relying on it to attract customers, to grow my install base, to engage with those customers, to make sure they're using our product and getting what they deserve from it. I want to make sure this is perfect. And I want someone who's going to hold my hand and they're going to lead me down this path of go-to-market, right? Like, how should I be using it? How should I be thinking about my customers? What's the best way to do that? And so those are the three distinct types of customers that we've uncovered during the conversations with our customers. And that's how we've gone about trying to create an experience for those customers. And I think the really important thing to surface around kind of that journey that you're taking customers down, that experience, if you will, is that it's deliberate, right? It doesn't happen by accident. And I think for a lot of people, they say, hey, you know what? Like, we're going to create a CS team and they're going to just solve all the problems. And that's not true, right? Like, making sure that you're creating a great experience for customers is a concerted effort. It has to go across every customer-facing team. And everyone has to have a great understanding of what is the end product that we're trying to deliver, that great experience, and how do we go about doing it?
Okay, so you get your three categories of customers. There's the one that's kind of like, get out of my way, let me do it myself. It reminds me of the smart aleck at work, where if I ask the person a question, hey, how do I do this? They send me back a Slack message that's just the link to let me Google it for you, right? You know that person at work, right? So you've got that power user. They're likely, though, I would imagine, highly valuable customers to you because they're self learning, and they're probably a node, a connection point to other users. So I'm now Joe Smith. I've just onboarded into HubSpot. And I'm getting going, how do you know which category I fall into? Maybe you don't know that immediately in day one. How do you learn that over time? What are some of the signals and processes there?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, part of it is their willingness to engage. The other is, you know, a byproduct of some of the things that they've signed up for. And so there's kind of a variety of signals that we're using in order to understand that, Josh. But I think what was important for us in formulating those three distinct aspects of the journey was saying, we actually want to deliver that great experience, the same experience across all of those three different types of customers. And so it becomes really, really challenging. You're like, wait, hold on. So you have 150,000 plus customers and you're going to deliver a great experience across all of them. You have the same experience that you get in that one-to-one interaction, that one-to-one engagement that you're having with them. you're going to deliver that to the customers who are, you know, out there looking to Google the answer, the responses and answers to the questions that they have.
So are you saying it didn't necessarily matter as much to define the category they fall into, because you know there's three different segments, but you're going to deliver all of them to each person. So identifying exactly where somebody falls didn't matter necessarily as much.
I think it does matter, Josh. But the thing is that you have a variation of that journey that occurs. And so your touch points that might not involve a person, for those people who want to be able to Google and find those answers, need to be as similar in nature as it would be if they were talking to a person.
So help me visualize that a little bit. What's an example of how that manifests?
Sure. So, you know, you would have a customer who would have a challenge that they're facing as they're going through setting up workflow in our marketing hub, for example. And they're saying, hey, you know, I've reached the point where I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to move forward from this. And so you could have, you know, a conversation with somebody. You could pick up the phone. You could send an email to our support team, or you Google it, and you would be taken through the same steps that you would be if you were engaging with someone, you were talking to them in person. So I think that's the difference, you know, where you create that human aspect of it, of understanding the challenges that the user is facing, helping them to move past it.
And then that's a shared resource that your team can review in the background, and it can go, or the customer can go through the steps on their own.
That's right.
And so you're building consistency there is what you're saying also, right? Across all different channels.
That's right.
You have 700 people that work within your org, and maybe you can actually help us break that down, understand exactly what that means. And I want to talk a little bit about the culture that you've built at HubSpot. And not just you personally, obviously, the entire organization has built this amazing culture for itself. We are on HubSpot, Update AI, and I've had wonderful experiences with your team. In fact, my initial CSM, guy by the name of Sam Jackson, was so amazing.
Sam's great.
Yeah, wonderful. And just went above and beyond, you know, for this SMB to help us out and give us additional resources. And it does, like I said earlier, like that relationship really makes a difference. So first, let's break down your team, your group, for those that are just curious. And then let's talk a little bit about how to build culture.
Yeah. So my team is broken down into three distinct categories. I have the customer success team, which is a CSM team, and they're involved with engaging with direct customers. And then we have the partner success team. So they work with our partners. They help them to get onboarded. They help them to understand how they continue to evolve with HubSpot and grow their business on it. And then we have our contract management team. We're responsible for helping our customers as they're making mid-contract changes, as they're renewing our products with us. So those are the three kind of categories that my team fall under. And then your other question was around how do we continue to lean into creating a great culture within the team and within HubSpot? I think what's really interesting, Josh, and I'm sure everyone has read Dharmesh's PowerPoint on, you know, heart, right, which is the kind of the aspect of our culture that is so meaningful. And I think it's something that is probably required reading for any startup. But the interesting thing is that helps to frame the culture, but culture is owned by the people who are in the company, right? And I think that's something that, you know, it's a little bit of a burden to people who are coming in of understanding that it's up to you to continue to uphold what we have and continue to shape it. And, you know, how do you continue to maintain that over a 15-year period? It becomes really important, the people that you invite in to continue to uphold that, to continue to maintain that culture. And so that's one of the things that we actually interview people for. We say, you know, we call it, it's an acronym called HEART, and we interview people for HEART. We want people who are going to be humble and empathetic, and they're going to be remarkable. We want them to continue to uphold that with our customers, people like, you know, your own experience with Sam Jackson. We want people who are going to think of our customers as someone that we want to partner with, that we want to help, that we want to help continue to grow. And so that's kind of the central aspect of how we continue to maintain that culture. And I hope move it a little bit further along.
How do you look for that in an interview process?
You know, it's a series of questions that we ask people. So we ask them, you know, things like, when you were talking to a customer, when you were working with the customer, give us an example of a time when you went above and beyond for one. You know, I know that there's a number of CSMs, especially over the past couple of years, where they were just doing these remarkable things to help their customers. There was one amazing woman who was working from her car because she was home without childcare, and she was cared so deeply and passionately about her customers that she said, "I have to help them kind of get through these challenging times that they're going through." And some of the stories that we had, Josh, were just heartbreaking. And, you know, just made you really appreciate the impact that we had. You know, there was someone who sent us an email, I think it was a partner, and they said, "You don't understand the impact that you, the CSM org and HubSpot had on my life. Because of the help that you've given me, I continue to afford my mortgage. I continue to send my kids to school." And it makes you feel amazing about the work that you're doing.
That is amazing. And that continues to motivate.
Did someone say ChatGPT for customer success for free? Update.ai has you covered. CSMs get automated summaries of every customer call. That's real time savings that adds up. There's no bot, and Update even works alongside other tools like Gong. Sign up today at www.update.ai. That's update.ai.
What else is inserted into the culture? So, to create that culture, it starts upstream with bringing in the right people who you know are going to embody those values and that heart. But how do you maintain that throughout the organization?
Yeah. So it's the process that we go through, as an organization is when someone comes in, like actually talking about those attributes and talking about those characteristics that we look for in employees is a component of their onboarding. And it's continued to be reiterated throughout the employee experience that they go through. And we have ongoing training sessions around that. You know, one that we just launched is around psychological safety. I'm the CS executive who's helping to lead that charge along with our ops team. And, making sure that those things are top of mind for people. We want to create an environment. We want to maintain an environment where people are able to speak their mind. They're able to say, "I don't know if we should be doing this, or maybe we should think about a different way of doing it." So it's not a one-time thing. And I think that's a really good question. Thanks for pointing that out. It's ongoing. It continues to be something that you have to work at. Just like anything, if you want to be rated, you have to continue to work at it.
HubSpot is not specifically a customer success platform, right? It's a little bit more in the realm of marketing and sales, but there is a service and support component to it. And there is a large overlap with customer success. And if I'm getting my numbers right, there's about 6,000 folks at HubSpot. It makes you one of the largest customers of HubSpot yourself, your own team. What I'm really interested is, because my background is in product management, I'm interested in how you're able to use the product yourself on your team to really help reinforce learnings about what's working, what's not working, incorporate your ideas for the product to help it grow and progress. Like, how is your team using HubSpot?
Yeah, we've continued to kind of iterate on what's publicly available, and I have to express some thanks to our product team. We have this internal product team that just works hand in hand with us to continue to evolve our use cases. And it's what's great is that we're able to say, "Hey, here's the things that we want to be able to do. We want to be able to be forecasting. We want to associate that with risk, and we want to create these like AI ML features and things like that like haven't existed." We continue to push each other in a very healthy way, where we're providing feedback and we're constantly asking for more stuff, and they're like, "Hold on, but like think about our customers and maybe we should be doing it a different way." And so they give us, some really healthy feedback in terms of ways that we can continue to iterate on the ways that we're doing things. And we also try to push the envelope in terms of our product. It's interesting because, HubSpot is continuing to grow and to evolve in terms of the features and functionality required for our larger customers to be able to use our products. And so being one of those larger companies that are using the product can be challenging at times, right? Like we break things. And so it's a good thing and a bad thing where, the team is helping to beta test and to issue those kind of suggestions in terms of how we can get better from a success perspective. And of course, the other teams are all using the variations of HubSpot as well in the different hubs. So I think together we're giving our product team a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, I know firsthand the perils of being the beta tester yourself. It's fun to break things, but then there's a responsibility that comes along with that. The last piece here I want to touch on with you is aligning cross-functionally. So you've got a myriad of different roles in your organization. You mentioned it before. You've got customer success, partner success. Was it contact management was the third group, I think?
Contract management.
Contract management. How internally within your team, and then as it interfaces externally with other groups, how do you keep it all on track? Like, how do you align these teams cross-functionally?
Yeah, it's a good question. So internally within my teams, what's great is that they all have a single metric. They're focused on revenue retention. They want our customers to continue to use our products and to continue to grow. When you think about kind of like mission and vision, that is exactly what we're trying to do. We want our customers to grow with HubSpot. That is, kind of what HubSpot's mantra is, right? It's the reason why HubSpot was founded, is like helping customers grow better. It's what we're all about. And so we've adopted that. And we said, if we have these three teams that are about 700 people strong, and we focus them all on helping our customers continue to grow, it can be incredibly powerful. And I think the challenge for a lot of CS organizations is they don't have a lot of clarity in terms of where their impact should be, where they should be focused. And so once you create that focus, it allows you to say everything we do, every decision we make, every investment that occurs, everything that we're doing has to be aligned with that outcome that we want for our customers. Like, help our customers continue to grow with your company. And so I know for a lot of CS teams, they have a lot of different metrics. Some might have product usage, and others might have things like, CSAT. There's a whole bunch of kind of different metrics that are thrown out there. But I think the more that you can align on a single metric and say, this is the one thing that we want to drive as a team, the more powerful your outcome can become.
Do you guys have CS operations in the middle of that? Do you have certain folks holding together that glue?
We do. CS operations, I appreciate you bringing that up, Josh, because you can't have a conversation about CS or unchurned without bringing up operations. They really are a critical component of what we do, and they keep the lights on for us. So, from things as myriad as our headcount models, as the number of customers that we have in terms of ratios of CSM to customer systems that we have, continuing to iterate on those. They're forecasting. There's so many different ways that they make us an incredibly capable organization.
How long have you had CS Ops in the mix? Because I know that's still an evolving function that folks are just fighting for budget to have on their team. So how long has it been mixed into HubSpot?
So we started off with CS Ops, and we've kind of evolved because we realized that, CS Ops in isolation kind of isn't related to the rest of your company. And so you think about kind of the other areas that you interface with most frequently. It's like marketing, sales, really important. So we've actually created something called RevOps. And so we merged CS Ops with Sales Ops and Marketing Ops to create one really powerful operations team. Now, when I first started here, I had two analysts, and they were amazing. We've since grown that out. I think we're about 12, 14 people at this point in the ops team that's related to CS. And so it's just really grown by leaps and bounds along with us. And the things that they've taken on, things they've enabled us to do have been really, really great.
So it sounds like operations, the RevOps sits into its own group. And you've got within that CS ops, sales ops, all the marketing ops, all the ops.
That's right.
That's how it works. So it's a central center of excellence.
That's how it works. And so what we do is we have, let's say, for example, we have a leader for the CS ops team, and they're in RevOps, but they're like my COO, I think is probably the best way to put it, where, they sit in my leadership team meetings. They have one-on-ones with my directors. And so they're very much an extension of my own leadership. And they play, a critical role there. And so that embedded model means they understand what's going on in the business. They're able to have better insight in terms of why we do the things that we do. And they play a critical role in terms of how we continue to evolve. And so when we're going through and we're planning for next year, for example, they're part of that idea generation phase. You know, they, when we go through and look at the opportunities for us to continue to make investments and change the way that we're doing things, they're right there with the rest of the team.
And are they sitting, is their extension of their team also the other operations of other groups like marketing and sales ops, or is it a
slightly, absolutely.
That's on a daily
basis. Same model across the board.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So I imagine that really helps tether together the different functions too. You've got all the operations folks that are communicating with each other, sitting in the same group themselves each day, that are bringing together those different functions.
That's right. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that as your organization continues to grow, it becomes more fragmented. And so bringing together those different operations functions is something that's actually become very meaningful for us in terms of making sure there's that fiber of interconnectivity still there.
What do your interactions look like with the other heads of the different groups and functions at HubSpot, sales, marketing?
Yeah, so we have regular interactions. And one of the things that you know, at HubSpot that we've created is something called the flywheel team. And the flywheel team, you know, it's kind of this virtuous circle. It means that, you know, we're attracting customers through marketing, we're engaging with them through sales, and we're delighting them through the CS organization. And so, you know, each of us, the things that we do are impacting the other. And so making sure there's regular touch points, and they're all kind of aligned underneath, you know, one central leader, who's our CCO. And so the reason why we have a CCO leading those functions is that we want to put our customer at the center of everything that we do. And so whether you're in sales, whether you're in marketing, whether you're in CS, you know, their first thought should be about the customer.
Interesting. So at HubSpot, sales, marketing, and CS all bubble up to the chief customer officer.
And RevOps.
And RevOps. So those are the four pillars under the chief customer officer.
That's right.
I mean, everything commercial effectively, which is which is really interesting. And it almost sounds a little unique for such a large company.
Yeah, it really is unique. You know, I've talked to a whole bunch of leaders around the world. And every time I say, no, we have a CCO who owns these different functions. They're like, hold on, say that again.
Yeah.
And I think it is pretty unique to us.
Yeah. And I think, well, so obviously we can't have this conversation without then talking about Yamini, right? And am I pronouncing her name correctly?
Yeah.
I want to make sure I am.
Yes. Yeah.
Who was recently promoted to chief executive officer. She was the CCO of HubSpot. And she's making quite the positive splash and impact in the organization. I see her LinkedIn posts. I see the approach. You can tell from a bird's eye, her style is just very personable, and she's a great culture builder. But now it makes sense to me because we in the customer success world, people are quite excited to have a CCO having, you know, be promoted to CEO. Now it makes sense. It was a CCO that was responsible for the entire go-to-market, which is remarkable. Yeah. And I think, am I correct that there's a new CCO that was recently brought in?
There is. Yeah. We actually brought in someone, Rob Tiglio, who has a really great background as well. And he has some experience in each of the different areas that I mentioned that kind of report up to him. So it's been great having him on board, continuing to learn from him. I have to say that, you know, you mentioned Yamini, that, you know, the time that I got to spend with her was incredibly insightful. I learned a ton from her about, you know, how to continue to manage, how to scale communication, so many different aspects that she's excelled in. So it's been great having her in that role and seeing continue to evolve has certainly been something where, you know, you look at CS organizations as seeing how she's continued to rise and to continue to bring customers to the forefront of what we do as a company. And I think, you know, it's given a lot of us hope for the future of saying, you know, you can put your customer first and you can see the results of that and at your own career as you continue to evolve.
And what I love about Rob Giglio, who's the new CCO, right? And I say new, but he's been with you guys for about 6 months right now. But of HubSpot is he didn't come from being the CCO of a different company. He came from being chief marketing officer of DocuSign. And prior to that, was a leader in sales at Adobe. So this is quite intentionally the organization is bringing on folks that have that cross-functional experience. So I'm getting a view now of HubSpot that is really nice to see that you guys really are, you know, putting your money where your mouth is in making sure that the entire commercialization team is holistic and cross-functional in its approach.
Yeah, I think we lean into a concept that I think fosters that kind of people who want to collaborate across functions, who have that experience. And I think that you look at, you know, how we brought those different functions together. And I think those functions, you know, again, going back to my own organization and the metric that we're focused on, if you can bring those go-to-market functions together around, you know, a central thing for us, that's the customer, you can, the thing that you create can be incredibly powerful, right? And there's these, like, you know, old adages of, you know, you have, you know, one stick and it's very easy to break. You have three, four together, and it becomes so much stronger than their individual parts. And that's what we're seeing as we continue to grow as a company, is that the more aligned we are within our organizations, the more we can break down those silos of information and sharing customer information, the more that we're going to be able to deliver a great experience and continue to delight our customers.
Jonathan, thank you so much for being with us on this episode. It was a really great conversation to learn about how you guys do segmentation, the culture that you've helped build and been a part of at HubSpot, and then really seeing insightfully the cross-functional collaborative approach that's taken. Thank you so much.
I appreciate the time, Josh. It was a real pleasure.
Hey guys, it's Josh. Don't hang up. If you enjoyed this episode, you know what? Even if you didn't, I'd love for you to give us a rating in iTunes or Spotify. I'd love to connect with each of our listeners. Send me a LinkedIn request and I'll accept it immediately.